Welcome to the Ortho Eval Pal podcast, where we can help you build confidence with your orthopedic evaluation and management skills. We hope you enjoy the show. And now, for your host, Paul Marquis.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 314 of the Ortho Eval Pal podcast. I'm your host, Paul Marquis, and today we're going to be talking about the slap lesion clinical exam. We're going to be talking about what a slap lesion is, review the most commonly used special tests, and we'll throw in a few additional pearls to help better target slap lesions and so much more. But before we get started, I'd just like to take a moment to hear a word from our sponsor.
You've all seen the name Chattanooga in rehab clinics. Chattanooga has been a staple for all your traditional clinical equipment needs, and they are now carrying modalities including high-powered laser, focused shockwave, and radial pressure wave devices. These modalities have the ability to transform your practice from both a clinical and revenue standpoint. Trust me, I have patients traveling over an hour to come have radial pressure wave treatment in our clinic. Click the link in the show notes to request a quote, schedule an in-person demo, or get more information on their new modalities. You can also visit their website at www.lightforcemedical.com.
Welcome back, everyone. So I just returned from giving a blood flow restriction course with Dr. Susie Lachowski at Northeast Rehab Hospital in Salem, New Hampshire. What a super nice group of people there. We had a great time, and thank you so much for hosting us. The hospitality was just top notch. And, you know, on my way back from the course, I was pondering, you know, what this week's podcast is going to be. And so I came across an interesting article that came out recently in the American Journal of Sports Medicine by Dr. Robert Dean et al. And it was about examining slap lesions. And I'm going to put the link in the show notes for this particular article. I really liked it. It kind of, you know, talked about what are the best combinations of tests or maneuvers to perform to help identify a slap tear or slap lesion. Now, where I'm from, slap lesions are not super common, okay? And why is that? Well, this is northern Maine. We have snow 7 to 8 months out of the year. It's hard to play tennis or play baseball in the snow. So the weather doesn't accommodate for these overhead sports, you know, athlete sports very often. And so that's why there are so many three-sport athletes up here, because we have to really work around the seasons. And so most of the time when we do see people with slap lesions, they're traumatic in nature. Okay, either some sort of a foosh injury or they were reaching for something, slipped, fell, grabbed onto something. So I was just kind of curious to see what the research showed here would be the most effective, you know, special test or examination maneuvers, quote unquote, for identifying slap tears and compare them to what I've been doing all of these years, you know, with my patients during my exam. But I thought what we'd do is we'd start with a little anatomy first. And, you know, obviously we are going to be working in the area of the glenohumeral joint. This joint is inherently unstable due to the shallow concave glenoid, okay? There's very little surface contact between the humerus and the glenoid, something like 20% of the humerus contacts the glenoid at any one particular time. The labrum lines the outer rim of that glenoid, okay, and that's a fibrocartilaginous ring. And the way I describe it to my patients is that, you know, I tell them if I had a soccer ball on the floor and I give it a little nudge, the ball would roll, right? But if we took that ball and put it inside of a small tire tube that was full of air, it would conform to that tube better, and a nudge would not be able to get the ball to roll because it would be kind of conformed into that tube. So it deepens that groove or that, you know, the socket part of the joint, and that kind of like, you know, really gets them to understand what the labrum does. And so, you know, because of that, you know, it gives much better support, okay? And the labrum is not a very vascular structure, so it does not heal very well on its own when it's injured. So that's something else to take into consideration. You know, not everybody who has a labral tear needs to have surgery, but on occasion, they just need that extra assist to get it in the right place because they don't heal themselves very well. The superior labrum, you know, acts as an anchor point also for the long head of the biceps. So as that long head of the biceps travels up through the bicipital groove over the top, it becomes an intra-articular structure, and then attaches to that superior glenoid rim or tubercle, and also has fibers that are attached to the superior labrum. And so it can act as an anchor point for that long head of the biceps. And this is the area where most slap tears occur. So what does slap stand for? Well, it's the superior labrum, okay, so the top part of the labrum, going from anterior to posterior. So just basically like pulling that that cartilage ring off of the glenoid superiorly. And there are many different classifications, but we're not going to get into that today. I think that that is really more for surgical consideration and whatnot. But in regards to what we do in therapy or rehabbing patients, I think just understanding that the patient has a slap tear and how to identify it is very important, okay? So with that being said, you know, how do these occur? And as I said earlier, you know, we see it more with people who do repetitive overhead activity. So throwing, you know, in baseball, softball, we see it in volleyball players. Tennis players will have this quite often. And so it's usually those people who are doing a lot of overhead activity or somebody who sustains some sort of trauma to the shoulder. And I've seen really different ways. It's not always the same way, you know, like an anterior dislocator generally will abduct, externally rotate and flex the shoulder all at the same time, and the shoulder dislocates. It's not always like that with slap tears. I've seen dislocators end up with slap tears, people who have sustained a Fuchs type of injury or just traumatic flexion to the shoulder. I've seen multiple mechanisms to cause slap tears. So it's difficult just to go from the subjective history on a lot of these folks. So let's talk a little bit about which tests are most likely to drive you toward the diagnosis of a slap tear. And this particular study that we're going to be talking about today found that the O'Brien test and the Crank test were found to be the most sensitive tests, especially when used in combination. And I'm super glad to hear that because they're two tests that I love to do, especially the O'Brien. I actually met Dr. Stephen O'Brien when I was at a conference. We had a great conversation about some of the patients that we had seen together and with some of his colleagues. And it was really nice to see his enthusiasm in regards to talking to, you know, just a PT who had only a couple of years of experience under his belt. And it was very, you know, nice to help me out and chat about some of this stuff. So, but yeah, the O'Brien's test is one of the go-to tests that I use for slap tears. Again, I will say, you know, as I've said in the past, you want to make sure that you are doing more than one quote-unquote special test before throwing a diagnosis at somebody. So let's just review how we would perform the O'Brien test. We'll go over how to do the Crank test, and I'll talk about some other kind of findings in the clinic that will still drive me more in the direction of a slap lesion. So when it comes to the O'Brien test, what you want to do is you want to take your patient, have them stand in front of you, flex the shoulder to 90 degrees, horizontally adduct the shoulder approximately 15 to 20 degrees, and then turn the thumb down. So you're internally rotating the shoulder. Now, they're going to hold that arm in that position. You, the therapist, will put some pressure down at the distal forearm, and they're going to try to resist you. Now, identify if they have pain with that or not. Okay, if they have a positive, you know, test for a slap tear, it is going to be painful in that position. Then you repeat the test in that same 90 degree flex position, horizontally adducted, but you supinate the arm so the palm is up, and then you do the test over again. Now, if they are more painful with the thumb down than they are with the palm up, then that is positive, okay? They may feel a little bit of a click or a snap, but usually this is pain-induced, and the pain is usually deep in the shoulder. If they complain of pain or point to the area of the AC joint, then that is more of an AC joint compression type of problem. You want to kind of throw that out of the picture. So it's really more of that deep aching type of pain inside the shoulder that will make you think of a slap tear. So the next test that I like to do is called the Crank test. You place the patient in the supine position. You'll maximally abduct the shoulder, bring him into, you know, some external rotation. Then you'll put a little axial load, so you'll drive that humerus kind of into that superior glenoid region, basically impinging that labrum. And what you'll do is you'll then, while putting a load on, an axial load on, you're going to internally rotate and externally rotate the shoulder. They'll either complain of pain and or, you know, clicking and snapping in the shoulder, and that would be a positive crank test. And I usually do those two tests back to back. So kind of glad that these came up as the most sensitive tests in this research. The next thing I look at is, you know, where is the pain? And most oftentimes, people will complain of pain deep in the shoulder. Now, if there's some tearing to the anterior labrum, sometimes you can get a little more anteriorly, or if there's some involvement with the biceps tendon, they can have tenderness in that proximal bicipital groove and right where that bicep is. So something to take into consideration when you are suspicious of a slap tear. But again, with what I found, it seems to be that is more like a deep shoulder ache that they get when they have slap tears. I also like to throw this in, and this is not even in this research article, but this is something that I found that over the years, when I test people for anterior instability and I do the shoulder apprehension sign and relocation test, I have found this. If you put your patient down on their back, you bring them into that kind of pitcher's position, you externally rotate them to do the apprehension sign. Now, if they are unstable, they will be apprehensive, right? They're gonna grab for your arm. They're going to stop you from doing that. They'll roll toward you to prevent that shoulder from dislocating or subluxing. But what I have found is that if they are not subluxing or dislocating and don't have apprehension, but do have isolated pain deep in the shoulder, what I will then do is a relocation test. So all I'm doing is I'm pushing the humeral head more posterior and then doing the test over again. And so if the pain goes away and they are not apprehensive, then it is more likely to be a labral problem, because as you're externally rotating them, you're putting some stress on that anterior superior portion of the labrum and causing some strain there. You put them into that relocation position, they have much less discomfort. So I always throw the shoulder apprehension and relocation test on top of this, although it is really not even indicated to use for people who have slap lesions. But I found that almost all of my slap tear patients have been positive in that sense. So again, pain over apprehension when you do it. Your patients will also complain of, you know, this sense of instability in the shoulder when they have a slap tear. I don't see that as often with my caseload, but I'm sure in younger athletes, they may have that sense of instability, because remember, we're now, you know, taking that concave surface and we're making more shallow by not having that labrum there to help hold everything in place. So that only makes sense, right? So if you are suspicious of a labral tear, and you know, I might refer this patient over to orthopedics right away. I'm also huge on, you know, an MR arthrogram over an MRI of the shoulder, but this is really the best diagnostic imaging you can do. The MR arthrogram will pull up that that tear a little bit better, but again, it's a little different procedure. You need to have an injection for that. There are a higher level of complications with it, but can be much more helpful in identifying that slap tear. So not everybody, like I said, who has a slap lesion needs to have surgery. I've rehabbed some folks who have done very well, especially those who have small tears. But an orthopedic consult is definitely in order if you're quite convinced that this patient has a slap lesion. So I hope that you enjoyed today's show. Can't wait to bring you another one. And be sure to tell your friends and colleagues about us. And as always, be kind to each other and take care.
We hope you've enjoyed the show. For some more awesome content, go to orthoevalpal.com. Can't wait to see you there.